Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Bob Dio. Bob is engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. Bob, do you realize we might be making history today? This may be the last day that we are in the current studio. Keep our fingers crossed. We may be in the new studios tomorrow. We shall see what happens. But regardless, we welcome you today to the Buckmaster Show. We're on a Tuesday, January the 15th, 2019. Today is the official birthday of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He was born 90 years ago today in the year 1929. So there you are. You are listening to AM 1030. Tucson's voice for trusted local news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. We also have all of our shows pretty, when I say all, like 98% probably are archived over the past 8 full years at buckmastershow.com. Our live line number 790-2040. With me in studio, the Holdens. John and Ann Holden are with us, and they are pushing right now an effort to collect signatures so the residents of Tucson will have an opportunity for a ward-only vote in November of 2019. John and Ann, how are you?
Good morning, Bill.
Good to see you both. Ann, you were one of the litigants in one of the court challenges to the way the city's method of conducting elections. You also were a city council candidate, I believe, back in 1993.
That's correct.
So, John, would this be the first standalone vote of ward only?
That we've been able to determine, yes. The issue has come up before the voters many times in the past, but it was usually cobbled together with something else, like, you know, ward only and nonpartisan or issues like that. Something else was thrown on there which would turn off one side or the other, you know. So, in effect, that was the death knell for it when it got lumped together. So we're trying to bring this one in a clean format, just one issue and one issue only.
To get some kind of final clarification, Ann, is that kind of what the thinking is? Let's really see where this thing stands.
Right, because in the past, as John mentioned, mm-hmm. it's always been combined with something else. And whenever you do that, it's going to turn some people off one way or the other. And so we think that this is our opportunity to find out how people really feel about the ward only as it stands by itself.
What about last year's court challenge, John?
Well, that was one that had its ups and downs from the perspective of the ward-only vote. The state courts, you know, handled it for a while and went back and forth. And it finally ended up into the Ninth Circuit Court. And the three-judge panel there voted in favor of our side, if you will. And then the city went ahead and went back as a full charge opposition and challenged that, and they took it to the Ninth Circuit and bank. So they had 10 judges on that to vote, and their vote in that case was to say thanks but no thanks. So that's what brought us to this stage where it's kind of our last ditch effort here, but to get the voice of the people involved in this case rather than a panel of judges out in California.
Ann Holden, why is this important?
It's important because a lot of people in the city of Tucson feel like they're not being represented. Mm-hmm. One of our East Side council members' goal is to be elected by his ward. So that tells you right there that the people in that ward are not being represented by the person that they would choose. Mm-hmm. And the other, just the idea that the city is so big that there's no way that anybody on the current council can really understand all the issues. Another thing that came up in discussion, one of our supporters said, you know, it's like we all get to vote in the primary for our legislators that go to Congress, and then the whole state gets to vote on who goes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a similar kind of concept that, you know, why should everybody else get to vote, choose who we have for representation?
What are the downsides to this, John, as far as you see?
Well, the downside is that if we should not succeed here, we'll continue with the system that's been in place since 1929. We had 8 square miles for the city of Tucson in 1929. That was it. So the mayor and council at that time knew where every hole in the street was. Every little problem was pretty much in your own backyard.
Is that a chartered item?
That's a chartered item.
So this is a chartered item.
Goes back 90 years, and the city's changed quite a bit. We have 225 square miles now. The average size for a city ward is 35 square miles, which is, you know, four times what we had in 29. Mm-hmm. You have a trouble, you know, getting through and trying to find out what's going on in your own ward. Because there's just so many people and so much area to be covered. So it's not fair for the people who live in the ward to have people outside your ward voting. And it's not fair for the person who gets elected, whether they're a Republican, a Democrat, an independent. They have the same problem. You can't possibly know what's going on throughout the entire city.
Why would Democrats be inclined to perhaps give this a chance?
Well,
with their advantage.
It's an advantage there. But we've had people from all corners of the city and all across the political spectrum come to us with this. There's different drives that, obviously get people involved. But the folks that are coming to us are just saying it's not fair. That's the bottom line, the three words there. It's not fair.
What does this take as far as signatures, Ann?
We need little over 9,200 signatures.
Okay. And you've begun gathering them?
Yes, we have.
Okay.
Our goal is to get between 15,000 and 18,000 just to ensure that we'll be safe as far as challenges.
And as far as the person signing this, do they have to, he or she, live in the city, John?
Yes, they have to be registered to vote in the city. And with that, we're looking to go out and contact a lot of people on a door-to-door basis, looking at the voter registration tallies and registrations and such like that. Printouts we get from the county tells us which ward they live in, and if they're registered to vote, we'll go knock on the door.
And I should have mentioned in the introduction that you are a former Republican precinct committeeman and a Republican chair for Legislative District Number 3.
Actually, currently.
Currently,
still hold that position, but that's what makes it a little difficult. I have to take my Republican nameplate off,
right,
and go on, because I'm a City of Tucson resident, and that's the bottom line on this. It is a non-political campaign we're looking at here.
Is this a hybrid system in this particular city, or are there other places that do it this way?
There's, I believe, one other city that does it this way.
It's in Florida, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, huh. Which is somewhat known for fun and games with politics and voting and such like that. But, for Tucson, we're the only one in the state of Arizona that has it this way.
So these signatures have to be gathered by when? When is your deadline?
The deadline will be the first week in July.
Okay.
And hopefully we'll have a good number of these signatures on paper and verified to our acceptable level far before that.
Put your Republican hat on for a minute here, John, while we have you. And I'm just curious how you do see the state of Republican politics in the city. Mr. Eppenhammer was just reelected as the Pima County chair. Just kind of what are your feelings on it? I'm curious.
It's a matter of trying to get people involved more.
Okay.
Just get to the polls. Mm-hmm. Is the basic drive, and that starts with the precinct committeeman in the party. Mm-hmm. That's the number one goal, is get people registered to vote first off, and that benefits everybody on that. And then as far as having a Republican candidate, then getting the people to the voting booth, or in this case, their kitchen table, to fill out the ballots in the city since it's all mail-in, and then get the vote-by-mail ballot back in the mail. And that's an issue for us, and we're looking to take some strong steps to implement a voter outreach program on that.
Are you recruiting anyone to run in the mayoral race, Republican?
All comers are invited. Contact the Pima County GOP
if there's anyone listening that would like to perhaps run. Go
and
ahead,
I think, too, some of the problem that within the Republican Party is that a lot of people are discouraged.
Uh-huh.
It's been such an uphill battle the last 20 years or so.
What is the voter registration difference percentage-wise? Something like
it's
60,
it's
40?
I think it's about 45% Democrat in Pima County.
Okay.
And then it's an even split between independents and Republicans the rest of the way around here.
Okay. So it's more of a there's been folks have been so discouraged. Is that what you're saying, Ann? All right, Ann Holden and John Holden. John, I know you want to give your website, right?
Absolutely. If anybody goes on Facebook, do a search for Tucson Ward Only Vote.
And you're very active on Facebook.
Very much so, and
I appreciate your friendship on Facebook. You're very visible there with this.
Absolutely. Okay. And if people wish to contact us, drop us a line, an email. It's twovote.tucson@gmail.com.
John and Ann, thank you very much.
Sure thing.
All right, I want to tell our listeners about my favorite bakery, John and Ann, in town. I think if you're a listener to the show, you know. I like Mona's. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. It'd be a great time to go by now and have a great sandwich. The bread came out of the oven just a couple of hours ago, and there's a wide choice of breads for your sandwich. It's the northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. Go to monasdanishbakery.com. That's their website. Also, you can go to my website, buckmastershow.com. We've got a link to all of our great sponsors. Also want to tell everyone about another one of our sponsors, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. John and Ann, have you been over to that part of the United States?
I have not been in that portion. It's interesting. We've driven by many times traveling on I-10. You see, it's Silver City.
Right.
You know, there's the exit. You get to Lordsburg and head north.
Exactly. So it's not that far a drive. Basically, before you know it, you're heading east. You're on I-10. Take a left at Lordsburg, and in about 40 minutes or so, you'll be up in the beautiful Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico area. There's some really nice places to stay. A good starting place, southwestnewmexico.org. There you'll find all the places to stay and all the great recreation opportunities. Shelley Fishman, our certified financial planner, is coming up next with our Tuesday Moneymaker Report. Shelley, with a big thumbs up, the market's looking pretty good today, which we like to hear. We'll be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 Ocean and Beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To learn more, please visit rtamobility.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
This is Moa Mosgallery in Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery in Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at mosgallery.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor professional. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And here he is, Shelley Fishman, certified financial planner. Shelley, good to see you, my friend.
And you, Bill.
Glad you came in a little early today. We're doing a few mic checks.
Yeah, that new studio is exciting.
It is, isn't it?
And it's pretty.
It's pretty, and the mics sound really good. And so I think people will hear a difference, I think. And it's going to be fun. Maybe we'll be in there tomorrow. I'm so sorry about the loss of your dog.
Oh, gosh. Thank you for mentioning that.
Seriously. I mean, I've
met Gigi.
I met Gigi. And wonderful animal that you had for 10 years, and yeah. it's a really difficult thing when you have to put an animal down. Yeah. One thing that is not so difficult to look at these days are the way the market has been performing since the first of the year.
The market is stabilizing a little bit. I'm cautious about saying anything too general, because the minute I do, it'll make a liar out of me. But right now, we're back over about 24,000. So what we said in our forecast for the year is that we'd be down a little bit for 2018. You know, that turned out to be a little bit more than a little bit. It was close to 10% on the major indices.
Which is a correction.
Which is a correction. Mm-hmm. We've had moments of more than 20%, which, of course, is by some definitions a bear market. I don't subscribe to that definition. I think the 20% is fine, but there has to be a time frame involved. And you know, if you're down 20% for 2 days, that's not a bear market.
Some of the national commentators really, in my opinion, kind of jumped the gun on that whole talk about bear market.
You're absolutely right. But, you know, with cable news today, everybody's
they've got
on
24 hours to fill.
Day.
You know,
exactly.
You got 20. If you're a financial network and you've got 24 hours to fill, you're going to find somebody that's going to say, yeah, I feel this is a bear market.
Right. So. And that will, you know, make people's ears perk up a little bit, and that's okay. We need all of those perspectives, and I hope that people who listen to those kinds of programs listen to a lot of them and at a lot of different venues, so that nobody's getting just one perspective.
I want to pick up on our conversation that we had in 2018 about the relationship between the company and their particular stakeholders and shareholders.
Yeah, Bill, thank you for asking that question. That is a particular hot button for me, because people assume that the major stakeholder for a CEO or president of a company is going to be the board of directors. It's going to be the stockholders. And there's a bunch of law that would indicate, through various trials and other legislations, that stockholder group is the primary responsibility of the CEO, and that the CEO has a fiduciary responsibility to increase shareholder wealth as the primary stakeholder in that corporation. What has been less clear is what is the time frame for that optimization or maximization of shareholder wealth. And if you're measuring that quarter by quarter or month by month, then the corporation becomes much more focused down on short-term thinking, and the things that they support in the community are going to be more short-term oriented. So you get emphasis on tax relief, on regulatory relief, and those kinds of things, which can have a short-term positive effect on the bottom line.
But not long-term negative effect.
Precisely. So what you really need to do is, if you're running a corporation, is balance the needs of your owners and your board of directors with the other stakeholders in that corporation. And believe it or not, there's a total of, I think, six other stakeholder groups that you have to take a look at.
Tell me about it.
And clearly, employees are one of the groups that you have to keep happy, that you have to, whose interests you must balance.
Yeah, because without the employees,
your company does not succeed.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now, you know, historically, employees, especially non-management employees, have been able to bargain with their employers using the unions or other kind of bargaining organizations. And what has occurred over the past 40 or 50 years is a lessening of that leverage on the part of employees. And the employees have reacted in many cases by changing the whole paradigm, the whole model of how we think about our employers and the companies that we work for, and the loyalty that employees have for their companies has actually been reduced because employees now feel a greater sense of mobility.
Mm-hmm.
And an ability to move not only geographically, but from company to company. In fact, today, somebody entering the workforce can expect to have about seven jobs before they retire in seven different companies. When I first started with AT&T back in the 60s, I expected to work there for 40 years. I expected to retire from that company. Now, it didn't work out that way for lots of reasons, but that was the expectation. In return for my loyalty, the company treated me as a stakeholder and gave me a lot of training, gave me a lot of development. In the 17 years I worked there, for the first time I worked there, I had 21 jobs.
Wow.
Moved around and really was being groomed or mm-hmm, developed mm-hmm. To have a perspective on the whole company. Mm-hmm. So that's one set of stakeholders. Another set of stakeholders is your customers.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do things that turn your customers off. You can't promote a pricing policy or whatever that confuses customers. You have to be clear with customers. So if you are running a company, one of the more important groups that you have to worry about and whose considerations you have to take into effect are your customers. Now, customers, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is they want low prices. Well, yeah, but that's not always the case. Most customers who think about the problem correctly want you as a corporation to be profitable, so that they can continue to do business with you.
Of course, yeah.
So there's a balance from the perspective of the customer, but also a balance from the perspective of the people running the customer interfacing organization in a company.
Quickly running out of time.
Okay, so there's suppliers and distributors.
Employees, the customer,
customers,
suppliers.
Exactly. Suppliers are very important because you are their customers.
Yep.
And so you have to consider how they think about mm-hmm. your company.
Mm-hmm.
One that is very important are communities. You do business in a community. You live in a community. You are using the infrastructure of that community. If that community does well, then it will supply you with good employees. It will supply you with the logistics you need to move your products in and out of there. It supplies you with the educational basis that you need, et cetera. So taking a short-term view of taxation, for instance, or a short-term view of what your responsibilities are within that community, in the long term can hurt you as a company.
Indeed.
And today, companies don't work in just one community, or for that matter, in one country. They work in many. And so balancing the various needs, an obvious list, if you're doing business in the United States, France, Britain, Russia, and China, you've got conflicting interests there to deal with. So those are the balancing acts, and there are some others that I believe we need to talk about more.
What are the other two, real quickly?
The biggest one that we really have to look at is the executive team.
Okay.
Because the executive team, different from just the employees in general, are in charge with not just the tactics of the corporation, but the strategy of the corporation. So they need to know how far out in advance they need to be doing their planning, their implementation of strategy and tactics, so that it all comes into balance with all of these other stakeholders' views.
Thank you very much, Shelley Fishman. We'll see you next Tuesday.
Yeah,
Thank you.
We have another 20 minutes?
Yes, we need another 20. We'll be right back with Ryan Hansen at Bon Voyage Travel.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of Securities America or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor in private practice here in Tucson. Securities offered through Securities America, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through PFG Advisors. Securities America and PFG Advisors are separate entities.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 ocean and beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030, The Voice. And we have the voice of travel as far as the Buckmaster Show is concerned. It's Ryan Hansen, Inside Travel Talk with Ryan Hansen. Ryan is our travel contributor on Buckmaster. Ryan is president and chief operating officer of Bon Voyage Travel, which serves travelers and has been doing a great job for more than 40 years. 75 Bon Voyage travel experts are standing by right now to create your trip of a lifetime. And there are three Southern Arizona Bon Voyage offices very conveniently located for the foothills. You've got the river in Campbell, you got Green Valley location, and then up on the northeast northwest side, Oro Valley. BVTravel.com, the first stop in making your travel dreams come true. Rhino, how are you?
I'm great. Happy New Year, my friend.
Happy New Year. It's the first time I've seen you in 2019. And of course, everybody, Ryan, is talking about the impact of the government shutdown, which is now over 3 weeks old. So what's the impact overall on travel?
Oh, it's actually, the media is looking at it, as they always do, a little sensationalized mm-hmm. to a certain degree. But functions that the government has deemed as essential to national security and protection of life and property are continuing to function. Granted, how those people are being paid is a different topic for your show on a different day. But when you're looking at air traffic control, the security of the airport itself, customs and immigrations, passports and visas, the comings and goings in that range have really not been impacted at all. And there's a lot of discussion, though, are centered around the security lines. Mm-hmm. TSA workers not showing up for their scheduled hours has mm-hmm. been kind of in the media. And mm-hmm. in certain pockets, Atlanta had a very significant time where typically you'd get through TSA in about a half an hour. Mm-hmm. It took about an hour for most. And if you weren't prudent about arriving to the airport, that could have been a surprise mm-hmm. to you. But by and large, and I have some statistics that I found intriguing.
Give our listeners an overview.
Yeah, in 2018, on January 14th, so 1 year ago yesterday, 2.5% of the scheduled workers for TSA called in sick, essentially. Right. This year, on January 14th, 6.5% called in. So we're seeing in the first 2 weeks about a 3-5% increase in unscheduled absences for TSA workers. Mm-hmm. Now, that is not acceptable, right? We don't want to see that on any scale, especially when it's the security of an airport. But when you factor in that 1.9 to 2 million people get screened every single day, the percentages that are impacted are very low.
Yeah, and that's spread across the United States. That's not Correct. Just at one facility. That's not Atlanta. That's not Miami. That's all of the airports.
All of the airports.
So when you spread that out, it's still a very low number.
That's right. And I looked at the last couple of days of screening. And again, it ranges between 1.9 and 2 million passengers are screened daily. And over the last 2 weeks, it is on average 99% of those travelers have waited in line at the security checkpoint for 30 minutes or less. Now, I think you and I would both mm-hmm. feel, and again, it's the eye of the beholder. Is 30 minutes too long? Is 20 minutes better? Clearly 20 minutes better. But I think for the security of your air travel, 30 minutes is not an inconvenience.
No,
an
I think
hour,
that's, and especially
I start
if you're
to see
if
that.
You're fast track, you're going to be even less than
even
that.
Even better, yeah. And that's what we always recommend is the TSA pre-check. Take time to go to tsa.gov. register yourself on that website. There are some additional steps from a background standpoint, but on average in that same time frame that 99% took 30 minutes or less, if you had TSA pre, it was on average 10 minutes. I think that's reasonable.
That is reasonable, and that's good news. I've had more people come up to me at the beginning of the year. Where are you going this year, Bill, on travel? And they know I love to travel, and I always ask, what are you thinking about for summer plans? And some people say, you know, we're undecided. Well, I got the perfect place for you. Coming up, it's the Bon Voyage Travel Showcase.
That is the perfect place yes. because it is a place to becoming inspired. Come with a blank slate. That mm-hmm. is our goal, is for you to come. We have over 40 travel partners that will be there on February 24th at the Hilton El Conquistador. New venue, much better location in regards to the facility itself and how we're set up, because we'll have a travel showcase floor where you can go to the individual booths, and then each of our supplier partners, ranging from Royal Caribbean and Viking Cruises to Crystal Cruises to hoteliers to land operators that Windjammer won't be there, okay. but we have a couple of other alternatives in that same style, so it's not just the big
sailing
cruises,
ships.
The old sail ships, Sea Dream will be there with us. So we'll have a lot of different ways to see the world. And then each of those supplier partners will have a breakout session, which mm-hmm. is about a 20-minute talk to mm-hmm. present their case of who they are, where they go, and how they get you there.
And they have literature available,
too. They'll have brochures available to take with you. And, of course, the best part of it, we believe, is our team of experts will be there to decipher all of this information and help you narrow down what is for you in 2019, start thinking and dreaming about 2020 and beyond, because that's what we're seeing in the travel industry, Bill, is people are booking further and further out. So if you have something specific in mind, a specific hotel, a specific date, you're limited by budget, you may be limited by your job, or you want that honeymoon suite or that 50th wedding anniversary
something
penthouse,
special, exactly. Now's the time to be thinking about it. And I'm looking forward to getting together with you at the event. And I've been kind of working on my list of the top 10 Buckmaster travel destinations that fly under the radar screen that I think would really be an enhance a traveler who maybe hadn't thought of those destinations.
Yeah, because what you'll find if you're a traveler, you'll hear from the cruising industry, and mm-hmm. they're going to say the best way to see the world is a cruise. And
right.
the hoteliers are going to say, come do a land one. Mm-hmm. You and I will stand up and say, this is uninhibited, unfiltered. This is our recommendations. Supplier agnostic, mm-hmm. hotel agnostic,
exactly.
maybe. I may have a couple of places that are very unique, but I'm really looking forward to that. And I will also be adding a couple other presentations because I think the traveler and our clients here in Tucson are looking for it. And that is dispelling misperceptions about certain types of travel.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking at an expedition trip, I'll be there to talk to you about exploration, expedition, hard adventure, climbing sheer rock faces, or just its photography tour in the Galapagos. And so I'll talk about that. And if you've ever, and we've dissected mm-hmm. river cruising mm-hmm. a lot on our show here,
right.
but if you've ever thought about river cruising or have a preconceived notion of what it is or is not, I will tell you all of the differences and all of the inside scoop of, if you want to go on Viking, this is the experience to expect. If you want to go on AMA Waterways, it's a little bit different. Where those people in their presentations may not tell you the real truth, I'll be there to tell you the real facts.
The real facts from Ryan Hansen. What are some of the destinations people are talking about for 2019?
Well, you know what's coming back online, which is a little bit of a surprise to us. One of our best and hottest destinations that was booked late into 2018 was Hawaii.
Really?
Is coming back. And I think for people in Tucson, it's a very accessible location.
It is.
And I think people went there, maybe got used to it, and have tried other things, but it is absolutely coming back online. So that's a little bit of a surprise for us in the industry, because most people are thinking of the exotics as being the untapped, unchartered locations. But Hawaii is definitely coming back.
And you can cruise the Hawaiian Islands.
You can cruise. You can island hop with inter-island air. You can go to one place and just completely disengage.
Mm-hmm.
That would be probably Kauai, where you would want to go and just be completely disengaged. So we love the opportunity of getting to Hawaii. But another destination, and it's within mm-hmm. I'll zero in on one spot in the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
We've also talked about post-hurricane and some relief that's been there and some built-up. San Juan and what Puerto Rico is doing is a tremendous location, and it's kind of a forgotten place.
It really is.
That is a wonderful destination, and they're doing some great things with wonderful new properties there.
Well, that El San Juan, the remake of the El San Juan Hotel in San Juan on a great beach. It's a Hilton property. It's one of their top-of-the-line Hilton properties. They've put millions of dollars into that property. And I've stayed there in the past, and what I've seen, really, really, the makeover of San Juan is going to be, it's going to be a lot
look
better.
Up, if you're Googling and you like looking stuff up, look up Dorado Beach.
Dorado Beach, yes,
I've seen it. Beautiful destination.
Looks fantastic.
So that, if you want to get inspired, start there and then come see us, and we'll get you there.
All right, we've got lots to talk about and lots to see when we go to the Bon Voyage Travel Showcase. And again, Ryan, that is the last Sunday of the month of February.
That's right.
And the destination?
Hilton El Conquistador from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Sunday, February 24th.
And there is no admission charge.
No admission fee at all.
All right. Ryan Hansen of Bon Voyage Travel, insider travel talk here, and bvtravel.com. They're really a great starting place to check out what's going on in the travel world from Bon Voyage, where they have three travel offices, River and Campbell, Green Valley and Oro Valley. And again, it is bvtravel.com. For making your travel dreams come true. Ryan, have a great day.
You too. Thank you, my friend.
All right. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030, The Voice. We are Tucson's most trusted voice for local news and talk. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Green Things, my favorite nursery. Not only do they have everything you need for the garden over there at Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River and just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, they have all that great merchandise from Zocalo. And for years, Zocalo was over near the intersection of Country Club and Broadway. Well, they are now part of the Green Things family, so their entire operation, all that great merchandise, is over at Green Things on their 13-acre site. So go to greenthingsaz.com, that's the website, and when you're over there doing your buying your plants and all of your supplies, also check out Zocalo Village. Ken Scoville is with us. Ken is our historian on the Buckmaster Show. He's one of two dozen great contributors that we have to this program. Ken, it is that busy time of year here. We've got Dillinger Days and then followed in just a couple of weeks by the 39th annual Fort Lowell Day.
Yes, it's just amazing to me. And, you know, I don't like to look at for too many benchmarks that indicate that I'm getting older. But it's actually the 25th Dillinger reenactment also. And I'm afraid I did the first one.
Oh, my goodness. And yeah. I'm afraid I remember on the TV show interviewing a bunch of people when it first started and people were going, who are we going to be celebrating here?
Right,
John Dillinger. Well, it's not necessarily we're celebrating Dillinger.
His capture at
Hotel Congress.
Well, he wasn't captured. It was over by the university on 2nd Street.
You're right. There was some of his men were captured, though,
yes,
at the hotel.
Yes, but John was never over there. He had to have it at his own place.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, have his let's say, girlfriend stashed with him over there.
Is that house still standing?
Yes, it is.
And what street is it?
As I remember it, it's 2nd Street, but I'm not going to give the address.
No, of course not. Not give the address there. But you will be giving two talks.
Yes, it's sort of interesting this year because it's also the Congress Hotel's 100th birthday.
Right.
And so I'm going to be doing one about why is the Congress Hotel the sole surviving historic hotel downtown.
Hmm.
And it's sort of ties in with part of the theme, I think, for Dillinger Days, is that how would we do all these celebrations if there was a parking lot or a Walgreens there instead of the Hotel Congress?
Uh-huh.
And you can also think about during the capture, John Dillinger got triggered because the third floor caught on fire. And the owners of the hotel, they decided they didn't have the funds, and it's the Depression, to not restore the third story, but they said there's still enough to make it a business. So that's part of the reason they could have just demolished the Congress Hotel at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But those owners at that time decided we're going to keep it.
Is there another reason, though, why the hotel is standing? I don't want to give away your talk or anything.
Well, I think
maybe a little tease.
Well, just there was a constant tug of war between the earlier merchants on the west side of Congress and mm-hmm. the east side merchants.
Okay.
Because of the arrival of the railroad and then the Rialto Theater and all this, the east side was always winning. And that's part of the reason the Congress hotels stayed viable for a much longer time. And then it was also because the Osorons purchased the hotel also.
In some ways, the east side's still kind of winning.
Well, that's the
east side of downtown. In fact, we talked about that Friday on the show with Fletcher McCusker. When you think about the original Rio Nuevo, the plan was to really beef up the west end of the downtown,
right.
But it hasn't happened.
Right. And so this has been a 100-year thing. And just one little quick story.
Okay.
I used to be on the Downtown Advisory Council, and the gentleman there that was another big real estate investor, he says, Ken, I know you want to save the Rialto, but that's going to be a high-rise because that's part of my retirement plan. Well, the Rialto is still there, and now today they want to build two hotels just to the south of it, but they realize the Rialto has got a lot more value being there.
Yes.
So it's a whole different perception about how you indicate value.
And is it Saturday for Dillinger Days?
Saturday. There's actually a speakeasy on Friday evening.
Okay.
It may be filled up. And then Saturday, three reenactments.
And your talk is two talks are?
Right. Well, first one is going to be History of the Congress Hotel at 2:30. And then I'm going to do a 4:15 after the final reenactment, 1930s of Tucson's last quiet decade. And the other thing I think about when I think about Dillinger Days is how could Tucson be such a small, out-of-the-way place that the Dillinger, of course, we always had the good weather,
right.
But the gang would want to come out here so we could get lost. And so that's part of the interesting irony. If it wasn't for the fire, they would have been fine.
Yeah.
You know, just having a daiquiri by the pool and no problems at all.
So it's just like if you wanted to go off the radar screen in the 1930s, you come to Tucson.
Right, 32,000 in the city, Speedway's the northern end.
We do have also the 39th annual Fort Lowell Day, and that's coming up. On Saturday, February 9th, we're going to talk a little bit more about this on the show in a couple of weeks, but a preview, you're also going to be speaking at this event.
Right. I seem to be the person available for these things.
Well, you've got a lot of knowledge.
I'm interested in
knowing. No, you've got a lot of knowledge.
I think Fort Lowell, and when I was actually working with students in school, in a school setting and being a teacher, I would constantly take them to Fort Lowell for Arizona history in fourth grade. And I discovered a long time ago, and I keep adding to this, if you know the history of Fort Lowell area, mm-hmm. you know the history of Arizona.
Right.
And we're going to look at the geography and compare the geography of Arizona and Fort Lowell, the different decisions that are going on, the different cultural layers. We had a prehistoric group here in Tucson, the Hohokam, the Anasazi, Mogollon, all the different prehistoric groups around Arizona. So it's a really nice microcosm of the history of Arizona.
There's still some ruins there.
Oh, there's all kinds of things. There's a major archaeological site on the very east end of the park called, Senior Moment. But it's a very important archaeological site there. We've got some rooms from the Post Hospital. In the last couple of years, they've restored the three original officers' headquarters buildings and things like that.
What's across the street from Craycroft?
Craycroft, well, if you're thinking right across from the reconstructed building, those are other officers' quarters. And
they've been
stabilized and saved and protected now. At the intersection with Fort Lowell and Craycroft was the commissary. And this is the whole reason for Fort Lowell. This was the place where all the supplies came in from Yuma and New Mexico. And then from Fort Lowell, they distributed it out to all the other forts.
You're going to be at 1 o'clock on Saturday the 9th in the San Pedro Chapel. What's that?
Okay, that was the first real... Well, there was you don't want to ask an historian type on this. Yeah. There was a very early chapel just at the turn of the 20th century that was destroyed by a cyclone and a storm event.
Okay.
And then the next one was built just a little farther north. But it was the religious center for the El Fuerte residents, the Mexican farmers that lived there. Mm-hmm. And that's what the reunion, this is what the tour is about, is to bring those people back that still have connections. They have a mass there for them and everything.
What is the historic significance of the San Pedro Chapel? Is it a recreation?
No, it's an original building. In fact, it was another one of those nice preservation stories. The last owner of that waited for the neighborhood to get the funds available. It's on this nice little hill that you walk up to. It could have obviously been a great place for houses to go in, but you can go up that hill and get the same viewpoint that everybody got for hundreds of years.
The fort was decommissioned in 1891, but it was active for about 20 years.
Well, most people don't realize it was moved in 1873 from downtown, but it was in downtown from the early mid... Well, first of all, when we came out to deal with the Confederacy, but from the late 1860s on, it was Camp Lowell, but the military was always here to protect us from the Apaches.
And why did it move from downtown?
Because, let's say, people got a little bit too much to drink at the Congress Hall Saloon, and then they'd do some target shooting of people's dogs and things like that along the way.
Was it ever attacked at its current location?
No, neither, as far as I know.
By hostiles
that they
considered hostiles at the time.
No, and I think a lot of people from town, when they came out to have a picnic and band concerts, and there's going to be a concert also on... for Fort Lowell Reunion Day, people were worried about it, but as far as I know, there was never any attack there.
It's a nice little museum there, too.
It's an excellent little museum, and it ties in with so much interesting history. The Boy Scouts were involved with preservation and getting a roof over the hospital there. So it's a very wonderfully centered community spot.
Okay, so we've got these two events, Dillinger Days this Saturday, and there are three kind of reenactments.
Yes.
Those are always fun, right?
Oh, they're great fun. Nice,
kind of
nice actors.
Gunfire and gunshots.
Yeah, and screaming and yelling, and why did you find out, and why did you have to get your luggage, and you know.
And I think they've got like old cars, too.
Oh, they have a vintage show, and there'll be a little marketplace. It's a great family event.
Okay, and again, your talks are at what time?
Oh, gosh. Well, Dillinger Days, I'm doing 2:30, History of Hotel Congress, and then 4:15, the 1930s, Tucson's Last Quiet Decade.
It's the 100th anniversary of Hotel Congress.
Yes.
Okay. And I just thought, the Rialto Theater is how old? Do we have any
idea? It's 1919.
Okay.
And it's two wonderful historic bookends for East Congress.
Right. All right. Ken Scoville with us. And, of course, Ken also, his talk is at 1 o'clock on the February 9th. That's a Saturday at the San Pedro Chapel. Ken, always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much.
All right. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Ken Scoville, our Buckmaster Show historian, Bob Dio, on the other side of the glass, Bob back after a great week that he had at a conference down in Georgia last week. It's good to see Bob on the other side of the glass with us. I'm Bill Buckmaster, and we may see you or hear you. You'll be hearing from us in our new studios tomorrow. We'll keep our fingers crossed. Have a great afternoon and evening.